Words are looked at as a tool of inspiration, which can lead people to truth and accomplishments. However, words can also provoke people to perpetrate violence, such as the case in the aftermath of the U.S. Supreme Court returning the responsibility of abortion laws and policies back to the individual states. That did not sit well with many people who continue to make their objections known with threats and acts of violence in multiple states now. My next guest joins us to look at this violence, how it's being responded to by those in elected leadership. She is the president of the Judicial Crisis Network, also an author, co-author of the book Justice on Trial, The Kavanaugh Confirmation, and the Future of the Supreme Court. Carrie Severino, how are you today, Carrie?
Great, how are you?
Terrific to have you here. JudicialNetwork.com. Learn more about what we are talking about here, including a rather interesting survey that flies in the face of political claims, but then reality sort of does that, thankfully still. And you can see that more at JudicialNetwork.com. As I mentioned, you commissioned a survey. What was it that you were looking to find out with this study?
Yeah, well, we've seen so much increase in threats and intimidation of the court. We wanted to see what the American people thought about this. And as might not surprise you, it's not exactly what we're seeing from President Biden and his administration and the Democrats and in Congress. We found that Americans, not just across the board, registered voters, but independents, Democrats, overwhelmingly opposed the idea of people protesting in front of justices' homes, keep it at the Supreme Court, and thought the president should be actually denouncing that, speaking out, and felt like Attorney General Merrick Garland also should be enforcing that. Because remember, there are federal laws about intimidation of judges. There are also state laws that protect them. Those aren't being enforced, and there's laws also protect crisis pregnancy centers that have been attacked and vandalized, firebombed even, and the same laws that protect abortion clinics from that kind of violence also protect pregnancy centers. Those aren't being enforced, and so we saw Americans by huge numbers saying the Department of Justice needs to enforce these across the board. Democrats need to denounce this kind of violence, and this is hurting our political climate.
And it's not just by one or two points in the survey, too. For example, the majority, 58% of respondents agreed, as Carrie mentioned, the attorney general should enforce federal laws. Democrats agreed with that by a spread of 50 to 39. And it holds true of the other questions, too, about the types of protests undermine our democracy. Democrats, again, agree with that by a spread of 52 to 39. And how the president should condemn protests at the homes of Supreme Court justices. Once again, Democrats solidly in support of that idea by 12 points, 51 to 39. Yet you have individuals, Carrie, like Elizabeth Warren, who referenced in the introduction how words can be proactive and positive, but also create anger, hate, and violence. She accused the pro-life pregnancy centers of, her quote now, torturing women, and she wants the government to shut them all down. So when you're presenting someone like something like that out as an idea from a position of authority, and someone is a casual observer of things happening, you're going to encourage and trigger some people, the crazies especially, to do some pretty vile things.
Exactly. And we're seeing that kind of intemperate and reckless language from people like Senator Warren. Senator Schumer, remember a couple of years ago, the last big abortion case the Supreme Court had, he stood on the steps of the Supreme Court. He said, I'm going to tell you, Kavanaugh, I'm going to tell you, Gorsuch, you've sowed the wind, you're going to weep the whirlwind, you won't know it hit you. You know what? We're finding out what he meant or what that signaled to a lot of people who said, hey, our elected officials are basically endorsing this kind of behavior. When you tell those kind of lies about what's actually going on at Christ Emergency, if they were actually, torturing women, well, yeah, heck yeah, we'd all be really upset. Yeah. But that's, of course, a lie. That's not what's happening. And so you're encouraging people who are, in some cases, like Kavanaugh's, would-be assassin. I'm not saying this guy is representative of the whole movement of people who are protesting, but you know that even if you have 99% of people in this movement that are peaceful but are still being rude and in many cases violating federal and state law and what they're doing, you also have some portion of them that actually are violent. And you have people tweeting out, violence sometimes is the answer. Wow, I don't want that person at the front door of my Supreme Court justice. And, of course, they've all been doxxed by these same groups. People don't want to see this. There's groups now offering bounties for people who will tell them where a Supreme Court justice is, like having dinner or something, and they get more money if they're still there in 30 minutes after they can get a crowd formed. This is, and again, we found that overwhelmingly, this is something Americans don't want to see. Why is it something that President Biden's own spokesperson was asked about this, refused to condemn it? How can you refuse to condemn this kind of harassment of our public servants?
Colin Kerry Severino, who is president of the Judicial Crisis Network, also an author, co-author of the book Justice on Trial, the Kavanaugh Confirmation, the Future of the Supreme Court. JudicialNetwork.com is the website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Yeah, as you pointed out, the Justice Department sits on their hands, and the Democrats in Congress had to be dragged kicking and screaming into passing legislation to protect the members of the Supreme Court. And it's not just at the Supreme Court that we're seeing this happen to. In New Jersey, we had an attempted assassination of the judge, which actually took out her husband and her son. And there, you can go through the state by state and see that the violence against anyone in judicial authority, they're quite frankly, belong on the endangered species list right now with the hatred that's being thrown at them.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing our public officials should be speaking out against. And as you said, you know, it took them way too long to try to get that protection available for judges' families. This isn't even just about the Supreme Court. This is about protecting our judges up and down the line, because as you pointed out, this judges put themselves at a real risk in terms of you know, having a public face for some decisions people might not be happy about. So the fact that they refused when this the draft opinion of the abortion decision was leaked, refused until there had already been an attempted assassination to even vote on this. And even then, it took them several days to get around to voting on it. This is the kind of thing that should be common sense. And now we know it is bipartisan common sense. This is something that unites the country. The only people who don't seem to be united on this idea are Democrat politicians and the liberal dark money groups who fund them and who are agitating for some of the most extreme policies out there.
And the vitriol happens at all levels as well, too. You had Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer vetoed $20 million in funding to pregnancy centers, referred to them as fake health clinics. I mean, this is the language at all levels that really makes these people no better than an Alex Jones who spews conspiracies to the point where Sandy Hook families to this day are being threatened and harassed. I mean, there's no surprise that this reaction came about because we've seen it time after time after time with the World Trade Center coming down, the conspirators that led to attacks on people. I mentioned Alec Jones, who was going to be paying a hefty price, but not nearly the price that he should pay because of the torture that happens to innocent people. The same as with this case. Judges are there and doing their job based on applying the law. They're not preaching advocacy in any sort of way. They're doing a fair down-the-line job, yet because someone doesn't like what the rule or decision that they make based on law, this is not what the Founding Fathers had in mind.
No. And when you think, imagine, you know, if I describe for you a country where judges, instead of looking to what they think actually the legal precedents require and the facts of the case require and legal principles require, if they were making decisions based on, I'm worried for my own personal safety or that of my family if I don't decide this case a certain way. That's the kind of law you might expect in Cuba. That's the kind of law you might expect in Venezuela. That is not the way the American justice system is supposed to function. We are supposed to be operating as a rule of law, that the judges operate, you know, looking at the law even-handedly, equally, without fear or favor. That's what we want. But we have people now who are saying that instead of simply trying to make an argument, hey, you disagree with the court, let's try to make a better case for our position. Let's try to make a better case, whether it's in the law schools or to our elected officials, to appoint judges who do take a different approach. That's the way it's done in a rule of law system. What we have are people simply trying to shout down the other side and harass people into changing their minds because of fears for their own personal safety. And that is the antithesis of the rule of law.
I know this might sound like an insane idea, but we have insane people perpetrating these crimes. Is it getting to the point where judges are going to have to say to the politicians, look, this is an endangerment of innocent people, myself, the people around me. Unless you men and women decide to do your jobs, I'm going to put slam the brakes and do my job.
Well, I worry already that there are men and women who would be outstanding judges, some of the best and the brightest, who might, not, if offered that position and a nomination by the President of the United States, which you should be the pinnacle of someone's legal career, would think twice.
Oh, which
and
is,
so we might not get the best and the brightest anymore because they're not going to want to put themselves and their families into that kind of situation.
Which is one of the questions you pose and present in Justice on Trial, the Kavanaugh confirmation, the future of the Supreme Court. If you've forgotten what that adventure was like for Justice Kavanaugh, I advise you to get Carrie's book and revisit that reality because, unfortunately, no matter how much we go forward, well, politics still wants to drag us back, and that is the unfortunate reality. But we are a nation of law and order, and we thankfully have the dedicated people, men and women, who are protecting and dealing with the law and order. That's what we have to be concerned about. That's our priority, to protect that part, because without that part of our nation, we are no longer the nation. The Founding Fathers designed us to be. Find out more about the focus of the Judicial Crisis Network, their website, judicialnetwork.com. Carrie Severino, thanks so much for the work you do, the attention you raise on this very important issue. Thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.